Hello and welcome to the official podcast of Solid Ground Church, where every week we share messages recorded during our weekly gatherings in Lewis, Delaware. If you have questions or if we can be of any help at all, please visit us on the web at solidground.church. Now, let's get to this week's message.
Hey, good morning. If we haven't met, welcome. My name is Bert. I'm one of the pastors here. Thanks for getting up. Thanks for spending your Memorial Day weekend Sunday with us. Really quick, if you have a Bible, open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where we're going to be today, 1 Corinthians 12. While you're turning there, I think we would be remiss if we didn't just take a second and acknowledge the awfulness that took place in Texas this week. It's terrible, and it kind of reminds us that there is a devil, that there is real evil in the world. I don't have much to say that can bring any kind of closure other than Satan's days are numbered and Jesus will return and he is on the throne, and we can take solace in that, that no matter what the world does, the worst that the world offers is not the end of the story. The Lord reigns, the Lord lives, and he will reign on the earth one day, and we look forward to that day. And so we say, come Lord Jesus, right? And with all that said though, ooh, getting a little feedback here. We do have one bit of good news. I'm happy to report to you. Our worship leader, Ashley Rolkowski, had her baby this weekend. And baby Piper is here, and mama and baby are doing well. And so we're really thankful for that. So all that stuff said, we are in a series right now on spiritual gifts. We said, listen, in 2022, our goal as a church is to be a church that practices what we preach, particularly in the area of spiritual gifts. It's one thing for us to believe in the gifts. It's something else entirely to put them into practice. And so this year, we are intentionally learning about them and training in them. And we're really excited for where the Lord's taking us. And so this passage that's been central to the teachings the last couple of weeks, and will be for several more coming up, is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to start in verse 7, where the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We've been highlighting this word that we translate as manifestation. It's the Greek word phanerosis. And it means like an unveiling or a revealing. It's not just that, hey, like God sort of drops gifts into people from heaven and then, you know, it's sort of removed. Instead, it's this idea that spiritual gifts are revealing that the Holy Spirit is there and that he does something through people that they couldn't do themselves. A few weeks ago, I used this illustration to sort of understand it. You know, it's like when you have kids, you know, and they can't sign their name yet, you know, and so, but you maybe have a card or something that you have to have them sign, you know, so what you do, you put your hand over their hand and you sort of write their name with them, right? That they can't do it, but you help. Well, that's exactly what spiritual gifts are. It's something that like the Father basically puts his hands on our hands and writes with us. And that's the idea behind all of it. The other thing just to note with verse 7 there is this word where we translate the common good. Like, so the Spirit gives gifts for the common good. It's a really neat word. It's the Greek word symphero. It's related to the word that in English we get symphony from. It's this idea of sort of, you know, like you give all these different things coming together and they create this beautiful thing at once. And so when we talk about gifts, what we recognize is that, listen, everybody has different gifts. Like the Lord reveals his presence in different ways in believers. But as we sort of bring them all together, what we see is this beautiful symphony, which is the presence of our Savior and the residing presence of the Spirit. And so with that in mind, Paul continues in 1 Corinthians 12:8, and he says this. He's going to list out some gifts. And these aren't all the gifts, but they are the biggest list that we've got in the New Testament. And so he says, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still, to another, the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. And fun fact, I'm getting a little Greeky this morning, but just one other thing to know, and I promise, like, we'll stay in English for most of the talk. Phrase that we translate as determines is the Greek word boulamai. Somebody say boulamai. Okay, I'm glad we're awake. That's good. So boulamai is basically, it's like the sort of tone and feel behind the word is like the desire behind planning something. So think of it like this. So let's say I decide to, I don't know, I'm going to call my mom to wish her happy Mother's Day. It's not Mother's Day, but if I was, okay? So boulamai would be the desire behind me picking up the phone to express sentiment to my mom. And so in the same way, like when we talk about like the Spirit gives these, like just as he desires, it's his intention behind, like it's what he's doing. And so this is really, really big, because what it means is that like the Spirit is intentionally giving gifts, that he's got something that he wants to do through you and me. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about four ways that people receive spiritual gifts. Four ways that, okay, if we are in Christ and only Christians get spiritual gifts, okay, if we're in Christ, these are the four ways we find that the Holy Spirit gives gifts to Christians. And so here's the very, very first one that we've just seen there. God decides to give it. Simple as that. God decides to give it. Now listen, that's behind all of it. It's the foundation of all of them. But like really, really just up front, this idea of when we talk about like sort of God, we can even say sovereignly just giving gifts to Christians. It's the idea that like, okay, he just shows up, right? So for instance, I had a friend who a few years ago was doing missions work in sort of remote parts of Ghana, okay? And he was out, and they were reaching a group of people who, if you believe this or not, had not heard the gospel. There were people who were converting from Islam to Christianity, and they didn't speak a lick of English. It was really, 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 you know, neat, okay? And there was one lady who came forward to receive Christ. She said, okay, I believe Jesus died for my sin, and he rose from the dead. I want to give my life to Jesus, even though knowing that could cost her life, and certainly it would make going home to her husband, who was not a Christian, horrible for her. And so she decides to receive Christ. And so when she comes forward at the end of their time there together to give her life to the Lord, the most remarkable thing happened. She began to speak and praise God in perfect English, even though she didn't speak English. And it actually freaked her out. She's like, hallelujah, Lord, thank you for dying for my sin and rising from the dead. She's like, what's going on? And my friends, the other missionaries who are there, they're flabbergasted. Like, whoa, did she ask God to be able to do that? No. Was anyone praying for her to do that? No. And yet, like, this gift just bubbled up and came out of her. And this is the first thing that we see with gifts. Sometimes like, it appears in the person. It might even shock them. They might not even be aware that it happens. But here's what's really, really big in all of this. And I just want you to catch this, okay? Because sometimes what happens is we compare gifts and we go, okay, because my gift isn't the same as somebody else's, my gift is inferior. But here's the thing to understand. If you're taking notes, write this down. Your gift is not an accident. It's not. Your gift is not an accident. Like, you couldn't have that special, like, revealing, manifest presence of the Spirit unless he himself chose to give it to you. Nobody tricks God into anything. And God doesn't make mistakes. And in the body of Christ, listen, like over the next several weeks, we'll emphasize things, and even today, we'll emphasize things like tongues and prophecy because they're gifts that make us uncomfortable. But don't think that, like if that's not your gift, like, if your gift is administration or helps, can I just say this as a pastor? We need those gifts in the church real bad, all right? Clearly, somebody who's not gifted with administration, don't ask. But we need those gifts really badly. And what I want you to hear from me is that those gifts are valid. Those gifts are special measures of the Spirit. You might not even know how it got there, but it just sort of pops up. And you're like, my wife is a prime example of this. My wife, before coming to Christ, is one of the most least organized people that I know. I mean, that's why we got along so well. Still do, but we weren't married yet. But anyway, so then she got saved, and what happened? Well, like suddenly the Lord began to bring up this gift of administration in her, like in leadership. And so she's like right now she organizes our kids' team. She creates curriculum creates programs for them and stuff like that. And it's really, really exceptional to watch. Where did that come from? What happened? Well, she didn't ask for it. Just the Spirit placed that in her. So first way that we see that people receive spiritual gifts is God just decides to give it. And people go, wow, here it is. Here's the second one, okay? Prophetic words. So what happens is a person receives a prophetic word, like, and God just activates the gift that he places in the person in that moment. And you're like, do you have a Bible for that? Why, yes, I do. So 1 Timothy 4:14 puts it like this. Paul's talking to Timothy, who's his protege, and he says, do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Okay, so here's the scenario, all right? So you've got this moment where Timothy, he's being commissioned by the elders of his church. They're praying for him, and somebody looks at him, and they begin to speak in the Spirit. They begin to speak prophetically to him. Hey, the Lord's going to use you with this gift, and God's going to do this in you or through you, all right? And this happens every now and then where people circle up, and we pray, and we just sort of see, hey, here's this gift in somebody that they might not even know is there, but God just uses that word to pull it out of them. Now, again, is it independent of the Spirit giving it? No. Like the Spirit gave it, but the Lord chooses to activate it through the body working in conjunction with each other. I've had this happen in the past before where, you know, I can think of one girl in particular who just began to say, hey, you know, I think you've got a prophetic gifting. And she's like, I don't think I do. And then, well, sure enough, that thing begins to sort of bubble forward, you know. And so she would say things like, it was really, really funny. She'd be like, you know, it was just kind of like, you know, how when you meet somebody and you don't know them, but you kind of know everything about their life, and you're not quite sure how you know that. And we're like, that's not normal. No, that's not. That's not just, oh, you know, that happens. No, but what happens? Okay, like we pray, and sometimes like the Lord just sort of, you know, as somebody gives a prophetic word, he just sort of explodes to life in this thing that he had placed there in the person. Because that's number two, prophetic words. Third way, I know you're like, you're flying through this. I am, and I got a reason for it that you'll see in a little bit. Third way that the Lord, if we're going through the scriptures, we find the Lord giving spiritual gifts to believers is this, through personal prayer. Personal prayer. In other words, you ask, and God says yes. Now, let's just catch this, because the same Paul who says that the Spirit gives them as he wills or as he desires also says, like, more than once in 1 Corinthians, these other statements. So 1 Corinthians, I'll give you an example. 14, verse 1, here's what Paul tells the church to do. He says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Now, that's an odd statement if you only get gifts when you're saved. Right? I mean, like, he's writing to Christians who are, by the way, not doing gifts right. He goes, listen, love each other so well. Make that your aim. And listen, go ahead and desire gifts. That's a great thing to do. Go ahead and desire gifts, especially that you might prophesy. Like, well, why would he say that? Well, because it's like sometimes people say things like this, and they mean well, but they'll say things like this. They'll go, listen, we need to seek the giver and not the gifts. And the misunderstanding of that statement is, well, no, we're seeking the giver through the gifts. Because gifts are a manifestation of his presence. We don't want to use him for just those manifestations, but we want to walk in step with him. And here we have a scriptural command that tells us to desire gifts. Again, 1 Corinthians 14, verses 12 and 13, Paul says it like this. So it is with you. Since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in gifts or those that build up the church. Like, try to excel in. Verse 13. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. Wait, if all my gifts are right there when I first get saved, why is he telling me to pray for a gift of interpretation, that I would be able to interpret what I'm speaking in a tongue? Now, let me just sort of alleviate some things here, because here's what I know. A lot of us, like, when we see these statements right now, they almost feel like contradictory, right? So, like, on the one end, you've got God, and he's going, listen, I give them as I will. And yet, at the same time, we have a thing where we're commanded to pray for things. And so we feel like, okay, like, what's the point? Because, like, if God wills and God's sovereign and he does what he wants, why should I pray? Because he's just going to do what I want or what he wants, right? I mean, and some of us feel this tension every now and then. Like if we believe that God is sovereign, if we believe that he's in control, if we believe that he is immovable, then why pray? And I think this is a misunderstanding of twofold. Number one, I think it was J.I. Packer said it really well one time. He said, listen, God has sovereignly decreed for our prayers to matter. In other words, just because he's immovable, don't think that, like, in terms of his nature, don't think that means that your prayers don't matter to him or that he's not affected by them, that he's not moved by them. I mean, we see this with Jesus in the Gospels, right? Jesus, a great example of this would be Jesus with Lazarus, right, where he's at the tomb, and he goes there knowing what he's going to do. Remember that? And yet people are like, they're sobbing around him. And Jesus, it says, like, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. And you go, like, well, like, why did he weep? Well, because what they were going through affected him emotionally. It mattered to him. Even though, like, 10 minutes from then, he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And I want to just sort of, if I could, many of us, where we get tripped up is we think we have to have an explanation for everything with God. So sometimes people, for instance, like, when I say God is sovereign, What they think that means is if I'm reading the Old Testament and I come to passages where, like, you know, like, God, he reacts emotionally to something. That really, he's not actually being emotional. It's just that, you know, like, he's sort of teaching us something about himself. But, like, that's not what the text says. And I would just say, like, if I say, like, it's like, okay, like, well, why pray if God is in control? Can I just, like, a little bit of, like, pastoral for you? Let me just encourage you, be comfortable with some mystery. Like, can I just say that? Like, you don't have to parse everything about God. And I know, so like we come up with these like deep, like theological systems where we sort of have to make the Bible jump through hoops to work with what we want it to say. And I want to just remind you, listen, we believe in a God who is one and three. How? I don't know. But it's clearly in the text. In the same way, when it comes to like, how do I parse out like the relationship between God's emotions and him being sovereign and in control? I don't know, because they're both there in the text. But I don't have to explain everything about God. What I know is that the scriptures, while letting me have comfort in the fact that God is in control, also tell me to pray. And also tell me that God is moved by me and loves me and moves like his heart towards mine as I pray. How do those two things work? I don't know. But I'm going to pray because I'm commanded to pray. And I'm going to believe that he is affected by where I am because the scriptures clearly teach that he is. So back to this idea of, okay, listen, in terms of people getting spiritual gifts, like they're given because we ask. Okay, here's what this means. We're going to walk in fellowship with what the Spirit is leading us to do. So I'm going to keep asking. And actually, I felt this weird thing last Sunday. Even before I left the building, I just felt this leading of the Holy Spirit that maybe there's some of us like in our church body where there was a time in our life where we were asking the Lord for a specific gift. And he didn't give it that one time, or maybe two. And so we stopped asking. And I want you to hear this today. Ask again. Keep asking. Keep asking. Look, here's what Scripture tells you to do about prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says it like this, point blank, pray without ceasing. And it doesn't mean pray every second of every hour of every day. That's impossible. It means don't stop going to the Lord in prayer. Jesus says like this. I love how the New Living Translation translates this teaching of Jesus in Luke 11. Starting verse 9, here's what Jesus tells us to do. He says, and so I tell you, keep on asking. Keep on asking, and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you'll find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. Why? Verse 10, for everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be open. And he goes, guys, don't you understand who God is to you? Verse 11, you fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people, thanks, Lord, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give who? The Holy Spirit to those who ask him. So listen, here's what I'd say to you. Do you have the ability to ask again? Then ask again. And again. And again. Last week, I mentioned this thing that, okay, I've been praying in tongues for about, I don't know, 20 years, I think, maybe a little bit more. That didn't happen the first time that I asked. And it wasn't a thing where I had, like, so sometimes people are like, you know, so just start moving your mouth and improve sounds, and then you'll be speaking in tongues. No, that's just nonsense. But it was a thing where I had to go to the Lord again and again in prayer, and then just one day the gift came up and out of me. It wasn't like, Bert's a pastor, a Christian leader, so I just flip the switch and now I can do whatever I want. No, I had to keep going to my Father and your Father. The same way when it comes to gifts for you, keep asking him. Like, what's that? Okay, as we've been reading through like the verse or the passage in 1 Corinthians 12, and there's that list of gifts. What's that thing that like jumped off at the page at you and you went, oh man, if only. What would happen if you asked the Lord for it? And you kept asking. And you kept asking. Because here's what I know. This is what Jesus just taught us about in Luke 11. And maybe we just need a reminder of this. And if you're taking notes, write this down. God is not stingy with the things of heaven. He's not. Like, he's a good father. He is. Like, he loves us. And by the way, like, and then we have this hard time. So we'll be like, you know, you go overseas and people will say things like this. They'll be like, man, like you just see the Lord moving and healing on the mission field. But in America, it's different. My question is always, okay, but how much in the church in America do we physically pray for people? You know what I'm saying? Like we've got a prayer list. And I thank God for prayer lists. And we have prayer lists here and we use them. And we have an amazing prayer team and ministry. But like how often do we physically put our hands on a sick person and ask the Lord to heal them? We don't. But yeah, we have the audacity to say, well, like, maybe God doesn't move here as much. Or like, do we actually think that God, like, doesn't love us as much as somewhere else? No, God's not stingy with the things of heaven. Like, look, let's bring it a step further. How many of you know that we are in a spiritual war right now, right? Like, they're, like, heaven versus hell, that's a thing. Like, how is the movement of God on the earth described? It's the kingdom of God going forward, right? Okay, so why is, if we're in a war, why is it we believe that our supreme king and commander won't give us the ammo? Like, what is that? Like, we think, like, I'm gonna pray and be like, well, if you get it right, maybe I will. Are you nuts? Hey, fun part with the tongues thing that I mentioned, you know, I didn't know what to do with that for about 20 years. Like, seriously, like, it was probably not only within the last 3 years that I had any kind of note of, oh, here's what I do with that gift. And yet, like, God in his kindness gave it to me. Because here's the crazy part. If you think you've got to be theologically and morally perfect in order for God to bless you with something, good luck. Because all of us are learning. All of us are being molded to be more like Christ. All of us are learning new things about God. How often we go in our prayer time and the Holy Spirit highlights something to our hearts. We read the scriptures and we're like, man, I always thought of God like this, but now I see that he's like that. Like, well, that means that you weren't theologically perfect. Yet he molds, yet he's faithful, and he's kind. You know, and by the way, this is Bible. Look, here's what James says about even the idea of wisdom. In James 1:5, James says it like this. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives, look at this phrase, generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to you. Hey, if you want wisdom, ask God for wisdom, and James goes, he'll give it to you. Done. And he gives generously. It's not going to be this thing where he's like, well, maybe one day if I feel like it or if you fast enough, then I will. And it's not like if you just clean yourself up enough. No, that's not gospel. No, it's generously to all without finding fault. That's who our Father is. That's his heart towards us. He just goes, listen, you keep asking me. You keep asking me. Well, he didn't do it before. Yeah, maybe, yes, he's been forming something into this moment. So now you're ready, but you weren't before. I don't know. But here's what I know. The scripture command is for you and me to keep praying and keep asking. Why? Because you're not twisting God's arm. Can I say that? Like, what has Jesus, like, shown us about God? He's a loving Father. So, man, if my kids, I don't know about you, in the Miller household, birthdays are a big deal. Like some families, they aren't, but ours, they're a really big deal. And I can't wait. I mean, like, months prior, I'm looking for gifts to give my kids. And I'm keeping an eye out for sales. And I make notes down. All right, they might want this or that. And then so that when their birthday comes, I just give them as best I can the perfect gift. And I'm limited. And I'm flawed. And I'm selfish sometimes. And yet, I'm still a father. And if that's true of me, who's broken, small, selfish, sinful, how much more your Heavenly Father? Doesn't he want to give you the perfect gift? Doesn't he want to bring the right thing into you at the right moment? And so I just want to encourage you, keep asking, keep going back. Okay, fourth way that we find that spiritual gifts are given to believers in the New Testament, impartation. Now, here's what I mean by that. A religious leader or leaders praying for somebody to give them what's in them going forward. I'll give you some examples of this. So, for instance, Paul says this to Timothy in a different book, 2 Timothy 1:6. Here's what Paul reminds Timothy of. He says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is, look at this, in you through the laying on of my hands. Hey, Timothy, you've got this gift because I put my hands on you and I prayed for you. And you might be like, what's the significance of that? Well, because listen, we don't really do that, right? Like if I'm in acne and somebody walks up to me and puts their hands on me, we're gonna throw fists, bro. It's gonna be bad. All right? Like, probably not. I'm kind of a wimp. But still. All right, but still, it's gonna be awkward, okay? It'll be awkward, all right? So here's the significance of laying on of hands. You find this through the Old Testament and in the New, that laying on of hands is symbolic of transferring. So, for instance, like when Moses hands leadership of Israel over to Joshua in the Old Testament, what does he do? He lays his hands on him. Hey, may everything that's in me that the Lord has blessed me with now go to you. Like, may what I have now be yours. Same with, you find the church in Antioch in the New Testament, like right before they commissioned Paul and Barnabas to go out and be missionaries. It says they fasted, they prayed for them. Now they lay their hands on them and send them out. Again, this becomes Paul's practice throughout the entire New Testament. I'll give you some other examples. Acts 19:6, here's Paul with a group of people who were formerly disciples of John the Baptist, and now they've become Christians. It says, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Again, like Paul says it like this in Romans 1:11, he says, I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. Okay, so what happens? Well, he prays for the person, and he asks the Lord to either give them some of his gifts or to bring to life in them the gifts that he's placed in them already. So with that in mind, we're going to do something a little bit different. This morning, in just a minute, I'm going to invite our elders up front. And we are going to have a time where, listen, if you would like for our church leadership to pray for you, for God to bring out some gift in you or to give you a new one or however you want to view that, it would be our honor to pray for you and do that. Because listen, what the elders do anyway already is they're praying that the Lord would bring to life in you biblical truth. I mean, like, listen, like the ministry of the elders, as we're entrusted this church body, what we want to see happen in this church body is that we become more like Christ. And one of the ways that we become more like Christ is doing the things that Jesus did. And so what we're, like, this isn't new. Like, it's just we're asking the Lord to manifest this reality in through you. And so I recognize that if you're online, this ain't going to work for you. And so this is one of those. This is one of these Sundays where, listen, in just a second, we're going to say goodbye to everybody online, and we'll sign off. And then those of us who are physically gathered here, we would love to bless and pray for you. And so let me just say, online family, I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll sign off. And then everybody who's here, we'll get together and do this. So let's just pray together. Father, we invite you into this moment, and we ask you to bless us with these manifestations of your Spirit, not for our glory, but for yours, so that we may serve other people, so that we can be built up ourselves, and so we can reach others with the gospel. Lord, we ask you to do this for the glory of the name of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, I pray for that one brother or sister who has stopped asking because they've stopped hoping. They've believed that you don't want to use them, and you don't, like, they've disqualified themselves, or that they don't have anything to bring to the table, or what have you, and it's just not true. They're breathing to move the kingdom forward. That's why they're still here on the earth. You've got a purpose for them. So, Lord, we ask you to bring that forward in them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Online family, bless you. We'll see you all later.